tapestry weaves together the threads of our struggles and doubts, curiosities, our faith, our joys and hopes to create meaningful conversations that matter. You know those late night conversations that go unexpectedly deep? That's what we want to capture with the Tapestry Podcast. And we want everyone to jump in the conversation. Because when we are heard and valued, we can begin to believe we are loved. Welcome to the Tapestry Podcast. All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Tapestry Podcast. We've been talking about nostalgia and how powerful it can be. So the last episode, we talked about a bunch of different factors that make it so powerful. Today, we're going to talk about some of the dangers that nostalgia can present to us, some of the dark sides, some of the downsides. And so I'm here with my friends, Mwangi and Haley. Say, hey, guys.
Hello.
And let's get going. Like, what are some of the dangers that nostalgia brings?
Can I go first? I'm a New York Jets fan. I grew up in Jersey. Nostalgia is Jets. The Jets are a great team to talk about nostalgia because they haven't done anything in generations. And every time they talk about doing anything, they produce this guy named Joe Namath way back, right?
Oh my gosh, I have a Joe Namath story.
Right? So it's all about like, well, back in the day, right? Like, and Joe Namath, I don't know what products he's pitching, but I will posit to you that it's products for octogenarians.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
it's this nostalgic thing about, well, back in the day we were good. And that is right. So for me, as a Jets fan, I'm very angry about this is what that all we keep talking about is what was happened in the past, which has nothing to do with what we're gonna do in the future, right? Mm. And we have failed for decades. So to me, Mike, so immediately that's what rang in my head when you asked me about nostalgia. And I'm sure there's many other probably folks who follow the sports team that can, you know, equally like come up with a story around that. But it can be about what was, right? And therefore, what was will come again if we have the right quarterback, if we have the right lead singer, if we have the right CEO, if we have the right pastor, then we can go back to our glory days, right?
Yeah, yeah.
When the equation that brought you those glory days, yes, you look at Joe Namath's team. Was it just about him? Did he win the Super Bowl? Like, it was just, no, it was a whole bunch of other people. But we tend to sort of like glorify necessarily personalities or things like that and say, yeah, if this person comes back, then everything will be good. When in reality, it's an equation, right? It's a weighted factor amongst many variables.
All right, quick Joe Namath story. Are you guys ready?
So
Joe Namath grew up in Western Pennsylvania, as I understand it. He is a few years older than my dad. They grew up nearby each other. And apparently, one time when my dad was relatively young and Joe Namath was a little bit older, they encountered each other outside of some store or something. And there was some exchange and my dad gave some sort of wisecrack, as if anybody who knows my dad would know, this is expected. And apparently like Joe Namath just decked him, just beat him up. And my dad is so proud of this. And Joe Namath, if you ever hear about this story, I'm sure you do not remember this, and I'm sure it was in the 50s.
You can come on the podcast, though, if you want to talk about
Joe Namath, you can come on the podcast. Joe Namath, yeah, we welcome you to the podcast. You can set the story straight. You can set the record straight.
Yes, we invite you.
The way my dad tells the story, he was not Joe Namath was not being a bully. He was just correcting a wayward youth. So,
okay.
But that may also be a nostalgic way of looking back at, you know, I pictured this
because,
in the 50s.
Because of
like,
who he turned out to be, I guess.
Right, of course. Yeah.
That's
how
crazy.
About you, Haley? What do you think? What are some of the kind of like first thoughts, dangers of nostalgia?
Well, first I want to note that I think it's crazy. It like we talked a whole episode about what we're nostalgic about and sports didn't come up at all.
That's true, yeah.
Like, I think that is so crazy. Because I often think about how lucky we are to watch Nikola Jokic play basketball.
Yeah, 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 for
sure. MVP, by the way.
So. MVP. if he's not, it's rigged. And
yes, I agree.
That is fact.
What shirt are you wearing?
Yeah. If you're on
yep,
video,
he's got it. Yep. For those just listening, Mongi has his Nuggets hoodie on.
Yeah.
And but also, I mean, I think about like, I'm very I love tennis. Like, I'm nostalgic about Serena Williams already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Just stopped playing tennis, but I was so lucky to be able to watch her play tennis. But even like players that are still playing right now, like Coco Gauff. I don't know if you guys watch tennis, but mm-hmm. Coco Gauff yes. beat yeah, yeah. Beat Venus Williams when she was like 15, 16. I think it was 15. But like, I get nostalgic watching that because she's so amazing to watch now. Like, mm-hmm. anyway, that's a tangent missed last episode because I can't believe sports didn't come up at all. I see pictures of Todd Helton when they went to the 2007 World Series of that. His first base like celebration mm-hmm. photo,
mm-hmm.
best sports picture of all time. Maybe not true, but one of them. And but anyway, I just think that's crazy because sports holds so much nostalgia for so many people.
And yeah, maybe, that's your question.
I guess it's a problem. Yeah.
Let me ask you.
Well,
so
well, why is it bad? What's
well for Mwangi's example? I don't have any dangerous examples.
No, you're good. It makes me think about, so I was listening to one of the podcasts I follow is Questlove, right? He has a podcast. And one of the episodes I continue to think about is he interviews Chris Rock and, you know, Chris Rock is a music fan and the, you know, Questlove podcast as a musician is about music. But what I learned from Chris Rock's, you know, so he's asking Chris Rock, like, tell me about, like, you know, what are your top 10, whatever. But so Chris Rock's point is about, it's about longevity. So when you, Haley, when you talk about like Serena Williams, so Chris Rock's point was that it's about your endurance, less so you just coming in and like you win one championship.
Right.
His point was like, I care more about your endurance, like
an era.
Keeping at it over and over again, right? And just producing results.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So yeah, like when I think about it, Serena Williams and many other athletes. That's versus Joe Namath. I'll be honest, right? You did this thing back in the day, but Serena just like, right? It's like about she's non-stop dominance, right? Like,
but she didn't win every match.
She didn't win every. So that's the thing. So it's not about perfection.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Chris Rock was like, no, but you get up and you do it again, and then when you do it again, you keep doing it again, and. By getting up and doing it again, become a threat to other people. And then you also assert the dominance has to do with like you not giving up and then coming back and things like that. So coming back to this idea of nostalgia, what I'm saying is like, I could see it on both fronts, right? Mm-hmm. You could be the Joe Namath person who says one time, this dude did this like one time. Decades ago, and that's what I'm holding on to.
Mm.
Also, I can also look at this person who just does not stop, right? Like always keeps coming back, and the longevity. And real quick, like I was expecting Chris Rock to tell me that Lauryn Hill's like debut album was going to be the best album he heard, but he talked about other artists, like him. He talked about like Snoop Dogg or whatever. But his point was like, no, I'm looking at the longevity. I'm not talking about like. Mm-hmm. This like one drop, one right? Thing. Because then I was like, he's right. Yes, Lauryn Hill dropped Miseducation.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, that was it. Incredible. Right? Basically, that was, it was a great album.
Except for Fugees, right? But like.
Right, but that was it, right? And it's not a diss to her, but his point was like, if you're producing, like, so what I'm saying again, sorry for the long diatribe, but like, the nostalgia can come from a single point, or it can come from this thread over time that informs that nostalgia, too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point.
Well, I think maybe whether it's sports or music or whatever, we tend to look back and idealize the past. This is what we talked about in the previous episode, that we tend to imagine that the past was better than it really was. whether that's because we are forgetting about all the terrible music that was produced, or all those bad movies, or the things in culture that weren't so good, or maybe they were only good for some people and not for others, which I want to talk about in this episode. Haley, I hope I didn't interrupt you there if you wanted to say something.
I haven't answered the question, but you're going, so you go.
Okay.
I'll provide mine later.
Well, yeah, no, go ahead and answer the question.
No, you go. Okay. Go.
Let's talk about the bad stuff. I want to talk about the bad stuff.
Hell yeah.
But like when it comes to nostalgia and why it's, what can be dangerous about it, I think the phrase I wrote down is, it can be bad because it means that we think today is worse than yesterday. Right. Or at least it's like more worse than yesterday was than the day before, right? And this can lead us to the idea that the whole world is going downhill, or, you know, get flushed down the toilet, right? And you hear this among people, and it's because we're imagining the past to be better than it was. And so I'm not saying that the world is necessarily better than it was, but by a lot of measures, it definitely is, right? Like there are fewer people dying of hunger. There are fewer people dying in wars. We have more ways of caring for each other and ourselves than we ever have. If you ask, I think it was recently, a team of historians was asked about any point they would like to go back to. If you could live in any other point in history, what would it be? All of them said, this one. Like, I would not, like, are you kidding? Like we have more clean water. We have more, like, all the things are better. And I'm not saying that things are perfect right now. They are not. But when we think that the world is, you know, spiraling down into the toilet, often it's because we have, an unrealistic view of what the world used to be like, or used to be like for most people. And a lot of times the people that are having that view are the ones that have been in power for a long time, or have had the most influence in society. So I guess I know, maybe I'm sorry if we're skipping over the answer to a question, but let's talk about this one.
But I think, yeah, you bring up a really good point. Have we talked about Tradwise on here before? Do you guys know what that
is? I think we have talked about Tradwives as a group. I don't know if we talked about it on recording.
A tradwife is pretty much like, it means traditional wife, which means like everything you think about a 1950s housewife, that's what that is. And so right now, I think like to kind of what you're bringing up, Mike, is that people want to go back to like the good old days. And a lot of the people who want to do that are the people who, like, are imagining, one, a past that didn't really exist, who want to get back to, like, traditional values. And so a tradwife right now, in the context of how we use it, is, like, women who just want to be, like, housewives. And there's kind of, like, this weird thing going on the internet at the moment where they're really romanticizing, like, being a farm wife with like seven children and milking cows every day.
Yep.
And they were like, why would a woman ever want to work? As if farming, one, isn't working, but two, as if when women lived in that time, they had any choice or any autonomy of any sort. And they love to like kind of glance over that, because they're like, well, if my man wants to work, he can work, and I'll stay home with the children and the cows and the nature. And it's like, none of that's real. And so that forced nostalgia is kind of being made into an agenda. And like that works the same for like young men, right? Where it's like, we need to bring men back to who they used to be. And then, then we just get horrible people in return. And so,
same exact thing. I agree.
Yeah. So that's a very real thing, and it's very scary. But so it's kind of interesting that like nostalgia can simultaneously give people like hope, but it also is a force that's driving us into darker times. And that's kind of scary.
Yeah, how about you,
Mongi? It depends on who's telling the nostalgia narrative, right?
Yeah.
To your example, Haley, I bet you the man is saying those were the good times when my wife could do, right?
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised.
That's my initial. That's the initial. That's what I think initially. At the same time, you're completely right in the sort of like myopia of around like what was a woman then as opposed to like you trying to pretend to be that woman today. Mm-hmm. Because if you're that woman today, you can apply for a driver's license. You can vote. You can choose to vote. You can wear pants. You can do all these other things, right?
You can avoid dying of cholera.
Yeah, you can do. Yeah, so you can have the choice to do that today without the restrictions of the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? And that's a whole different thing. So, yes, I can choose to do that without those restrictions. And so mm-hmm. it's not really you nostalgically reflecting and wanting to be that woman in the past. You just want to be. Take some of that and bring it to the past. So in other words, you don't want to live back then. You want to live like that today.
Yeah.
Within your realm of choice.
Yep.
Because I would come to that same woman, Haley, and say, what are you willing to give up right now?
Mm.
What do you want to give up? What are the things you hate that you want to give up? You want to give up voting? You want to give up wearing pants? You want to give up being able to walk out by yourself? You want to give up like
card, financially?
That's what I'm saying. You want to give up? Yeah, like
posting on social media.
Posting on social media. Oh, you know, like if your husband dies, you get the land versus his brother.
You want to give up all that? Post the farm pictures. Would you do it?
So does that sound attractive today for you now? Right, right. So it's a package deal, Mike. To kind of what you're talking about is like excising those other things that were real. Right. Yes. It's okay if you say like, yeah, I want to live on a farm. I want to replicate that life. Mm-hmm. Fair. But just understand, like, would you also be willing to do that? And today I feel like in any group of society or cult or whatever that is replicating that, it is run by men who oversee women and suppress their rights. It's not those women really truly wanting to be in those situations the way they are, right?
Yeah, sure, because certainly happens that way a lot, yeah.
Right, you know what I'm saying? Like, and many of those are designed this idea, they are designed around this idea, well, puritism, right? Let's bring that purity. Let's bring
or they, back, convince, like, they convince these women that they are not capable.
Right? Yes, like, and they've
been in this environment for so long that they genuinely can't think of any other way of life either.
Yeah.
And yes, two, right, I think you kind of hinted on this, Mike, right? Many wars have been fought on nostalgia around this idea of somebody's an enemy, and this enemy is essentially destroying our way of life, and where we are today is not reflective of where we are, right?
Yeah.
And so we need to decimate or get into war or do certain actions to get us back to where we were, because these people are deteriorating our society or, you know, like diluting it, et cetera, right? So nostalgia has played a really big part historically in the oppression of many people, many groups, many sexes or like whatever, right?
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, we look at, when we imagine that the past was better than it was, then we look for reasons for why the present isn't as good as it could be or as good as we imagine it should be by now. And then we often find that our answer is, oh, it's those people over there who look like this or believe that. And therefore we must, you know, fill in the blank. Right now it's have ICE come and arrest them and try to get them out of our country. But I think we do this. Haley.
I was going to say, like, even that ties into sports, right? Trans people in sports, where it's like, the issue's way big. Like, this slightly ties into nostalgia just because of how much we love sport and how much we want it to be fair and all that. Bigger conversation, of course. But but just that idea of the other and how much they're ruining this thing we love. But it's like, how different is it actually? And maybe it just changed over time and you're just now noticing.
Yeah. Yeah, and that makes me think of like, Haley, you were a teenager more recently than Mwangi and I were teenagers. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't matter.
Like, I'm 25, Mike. I'm 25.
Right, yeah. Right. Like, but she's 23, so.
So still.
And I'm 29. No, I'm not 29.
Yeah.
28.
So.
We'll go with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You dye your beard gray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I dye it gray.
In spots.
It takes a lot of work, actually, to get it to look
this authentically. Yeah, it looks really realistic. How'd you do that?
So, it took me 45 years to do it. We look back at younger generations a lot of times and think, oh, man, you know, what are they complaining about with this or with that? And we imagine what it was like for us at that age and think, mm-hmm. you know, why can't they cope with life in the way that we did? We did so well with this. Look mm-hmm. how we turned out. Mm-hmm. Forgetting a number of things. Number one, man, you are forgetting the heartbreak and the confusion and mm-hmm. the struggle and just the daily, like crazy fest that either middle school or high school were for you, right? Even if you had it really good, you like your hormones were raging and you didn't know how to handle all of that, right? Mm-hmm. Like you forget about all that and you remember like, you know, yeah, oh yeah, like I got good grades, or maybe like this, I was good at this sport, or mm-hmm. I had these really close friends. And we forget that, like, actually it was really hard for you at the time too, and you're just forgetting it, or you're glossing over that. And I think it maybe genuinely is harder now. Like, I don't think it's ever been harder to be a teenager than it is now. Yeah. And, they're dealing with things that previous generations never had to deal with.
And they've been let down by those previous generations.
And we, as adults, have abandoned them in so many ways. So we tend to look back and think, like, why can't this generate? And people have done this forever, by the way. You can Google a brief history of no one wants to work anymore, right? Which everybody says about the upcoming generation. That's nobody so wants funny. To work anymore. You can look at news articles from 5 years ago, 10 years ago, mm-hmm. 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 150 years ago. People saying almost exactly the same thing, that's which crazy. Obviously can't be true. Like, it can't be that, like, otherwise no work would happen. So I think that's another problem with nostalgia is that it turns us on each other. Like you mentioned, Mwangi, I think Haley, you talked about the other, right? But also the other in terms of age, right? Different age groups. We can be like, back in my day, we would never have talked to our elders that way. Shut up. Yes, you did. You totally did. Totally did. Yeah, so like, what are some of the other things that might make nostalgia kind of dangerous or bad or sneaky bad, you know?
I got one more.
Yeah.
Unless you got one, Mwangi.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I briefly touched on it last episode, but like the entertainment industry, like everyone is complaining about the amount of like live action remakes that Disney is making.
Yeah.
Or like all these kinds of things. I can't remember who it was, and I should have found this tweet before coming on this podcast, but here I am. And so, but there's a TV writer and who, very well, like known in the industry, did animation, like, and he was trying to sell this new show and they were like, yeah, no, but we'll pay you to like write something for your existing IP.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like everywhere he went, Netflix,
IP, everyone
Prime.
Is intellectual property.
Yes, thank you. So all the remakes and those things are building off of existing IP. And I think about how, like, when Disney brought Star Wars back, right? When The Force mm-hmm. Awakens came out, nostalgia was heavy, even for me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have to wait as long as everybody else because I was, like, 14. So, mm-hmm. Like, the nostalgia hit so quick, and now here I am, and I love Star Wars. I can talk about Star Wars all day, okay? And I'm still like, I'm Star Wars'd out almost, which is so crazy to say, but it's like,
mm-hmm.
at what point does the nostalgia, and it goes for Marvel too, but I think Marvel is seeing, they're seeing the impacts of just not stopping sooner than Star Wars. And granted, again, owned by Disneyland, who I'm
can't be nostalgic about something that never went away. Sure. Right.
And right, yeah. And but what was I saying? I got distracted.
Sorry.
No, it was my fault.
It's a TV writer that was writing, and they said, "Don't write for this." Yeah,
they have these existing enterprises that they're basically selling on nostalgia, and it can only get them so far. Like it's running out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's very scary, right? So like, no one can sell new shows or anything like that. So that's why it's so important to like support, like movies and shows that like are based off of new ideas instead of old things, which studios are like coming around to realize, but they're still not buying them. And then when they do, they like don't give it enough time in theater. All of this intertwines with problems of streaming and money of them not wanting to pay people. Also,
but, you know, does the average consumer want to go to the movie theater and feel sad? Right, so part of the nostalgia thing.
Hey,
yeah, I think part of the nostalgia thing is like, I want to be happy. I want to maybe my beliefs to be reinforced as opposed to be challenged. Right?
Yeah.
There's this back in the day when Netflix used to send DVDs. There was this thing called the Hotel Rwanda concept.
Ooh. Yes.
So Netflix asks you like, pick movies, right? And somehow this queue. Movie called Hotel Rwanda gets in your queue, and you're like, and you can substitute Hotel Rwanda for any movie. Like, it's the type of movie that it comes in your queue, and you like, psychologically you can't delete it because it's a good movie. It's like a moral thing, so you say, okay, I will rent it. But the whole phenomenon with Hotel Rwanda is, I get this DVD, but it actually sits in my house. I never actually watched it. See, I borrowed it because that felt ethical and it made me feel like a good person. Like, if I rent Hotel Rwanda, I'm one of those good people. Yeah, I'm a good person. I rented it. But I actually never watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
So the point of Netflix was like, all these people are actually renting it but never watching it. So hence the concept. So the idea was like, I rent something to make me look like I am sophisticated or empathetic, yada, yada, yada. But I actually don't watch it because I'm not really like, I don't necessarily want to watch it. I just want to be seen to be of the crowd that has watched
it. I want to think of myself as the kind of person who watches
it. But I never, so therefore, maybe part of it, it may be even like, I just want to be seen that I rented it.
Well,
right? Not necessarily, but I want, but if somebody asks me a question about the whole shit, like, I'm not going to be able, but in my queue, you'll be like, oh, you are Hotel Rwanda? Like, oh, yeah, like, you're cool, like, whatever, but nothing, right? And right, it might be somebody with a book on your bookshelf, right? To your point, like, Haley, you might be like, oh, yeah, like, I have this, you know, Star Wars in my queue. Like, I love Star Wars. And you start talking, like, what do you? You know, that kind of thing. So my whole point with the Hotel Rwanda thing and nostalgia and what I'm saying is like, to me, part of the nostalgia thing is to reinforce selfishly that I am a good person, right?
Mm-hmm.
I am a good person and I live the good days and I want to live in the good days. And then there's these other people who want to take us back to some other reality that doesn't reflect when I grew up, right?
Yeah.
And I'll give a really good example. Today it's the Confederate flag, right?
Yeah.
The Confederate flag, depending if who you talk to in the South, talks about Southern heritage. And they say, well, this is about Southern heritage and this idea of what we were. We were this, at that time, even though we live today, that time we reflected Southern heritage, right? But totally ignoring, right? Things like the Civil War, where the most amount of Americans died and things like that. Yeah. But for them, it's nostalgically this idea of this utopia that existed. And this flag represents this utopia. The question I have for you, the audience, and them is, to who? To who was it ideal, right? To a woman? I don't care if you're a white woman. No.
Yeah.
Right? If you were of color, no. Right? But so this, so when it's, you know, a symbol like that, it's like, yeah, well, it's Southern heritage and it reflects Southern, like the South and, you know, like whatever, and that's who we are and whatever, like bull blank. Mm-hmm. And I've had many conversations even with coworkers around this, and yeah. I just say like, okay, it was good times for who? Good times for who? Right? Those were the good times. Fair, right? And things like so, like you could take the Confederate flag or many other and all, you know, like examples. But I think it's a great example in this country around this idea of nostalgia, yep. and picking, cherry picking what things were quote unquote good. Or who were hero, what people were heroes, what areas, yep. you know, like yep. all that kind of thing. And just like, yeah.
Well, and this, I wrote down this idea that like looking back and idealizing the past means that we think things were better than they really were, right? But maybe they were never that good, but maybe they were pretty good for those who were in power, those who wielded influence, those who were able to, you know, keep others down so they could rise up. And I lived in Arkansas for a while and met many wonderful friends and beautiful people. But I would hear the phrase every now and again, the South will rise again.
I always wondered, I've been there.
What do you mean by that? Do you mean, and I think I did ask some friends, like, do you mean like slavery will come back? Because like, that's what it sounds like to me. And they're like, oh, no. Just like, we'll have this and this and this. I'm like, but like, don't you have that? And so that imagining that things were better in the past means that we think that today is worse than it was in the past or worse than it should be. And yes. that's a dangerous thing. And yes. we're just about out of time for this episode. They go so fast, you guys.
Yeah.
And in the next episode, we're going to talk about a little bit more about how this touches on spirituality and faith and kind of religion, especially in the United States. And, so I'm looking forward to talking about that. So we kind of started talking about how, nostalgia can be so powerful, a powerful force. And sometimes that powerful force, can be pretty bad. Like it's not just sentimentality. And we're going to talk a bit about how maybe to counteract some of that and, how that ties into faith. So, thanks for listening, everybody, and watching if you were watching. We'll see you in the next episode.
Bye.
Be good.
Be good. Bye, everybody. Be good.
That's how I always end my meetings. Like,
it's good. So good. Like be that. Good.
The Tapestry Podcast is produced by Stephen Bailey. Original music was scored by Taylor Martin. Our hosts are Haley Bird, Wangi Ndonga, and me, Mike Orr. Special thanks to Lauren Richmond Jr. and Resonate Media. You can learn more about Tapestry and join the conversation on our Discord channel at tapestrytalk.org. Thanks for joining us.